Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another Microsode edition of Flame On. I am Pat DeBear here with two cohorts for this episode. We've got Brian.
Hi.
And Eric.
Howdy.
And we are here to discuss, dissect,
and disseminate
every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Or just some of them.
Okay, fine. Just a few of the last ones.
Yeah.
All right. So we are here to discuss the back half of season 11. I know we've kind of been a bit hands off for the majority of this season, but honestly, can you blame us? There was a lot of it that was, in the words of RuPaul, meh.
Indeed.
So we are going to pick up from. I think the last place that we talked about was Snatch Game, or at least the epic lip sync between Brooklyn and Evie.
Yes. And the challenge, they performed so low, but then in the lip sync, they performed so high.
Right? Best lip sync of the season.
Yes.
I mean, Silky versus Nina was up there, but... Oh, I'm sorry. Where's my Ru-ka-ka-ka-ka shade rattle?
Ooh, all the shade. Ooh, the Sade.
He's a smooth operator. So after Snatch Game, we jumped into another acting challenge.
Acting!
Because apparently sewing and creating or doing stuff with, like, in the workroom is passé. So now it's all about the acting challenges. I mean, we did have two design challenges, don't get me wrong.
Do you think that they're adapting the actual skill sets that drag queens need now more than they used to? Because a lot of drag queens, they outsource their costuming. I mean, that's just very common. Even they outsource their makeup more and more, which is kind of crazy.
Well, and see, this is the thing. I think the problem becomes when you have these... design challenges or more of these design challenges or things that are more concrete, this was put together well versus a subjective, you weren't as good in this improv, then it's easier to be able to produce the show in such a way that it you can get rid of the people that you want to in a certain manner. Not to say that World of Wonder does that, because I don't need any
how dare you
trucks coming up here trying to steal me away. But
there's production in this show?
Bitch, that final lip sync before the reunion and finale was so produced, I swear I saw Made in China on Vanjie's ass.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. But we had an improv challenge with two fantastic comedic talents as guests, judges, and scene partners. This was the LADP challenge with guests Fortune Feimster and Cheyenne Jackson.
That was a great challenge. I really liked it.
Most of it was. I mean, absolutely
yeah,
was.
Most yeah, of yeah, it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Three of the four or two of the three? I don't remember.
There were four scenarios because you had Silky and Suga.
That was
with
good.
The busted hip pads, the fake hip
that
pads.
That was
good. I will give Silky a lot of the credit in that one. She did a really fun job.
But, okay, this is my only critique of this right now because I could go on and on about Silky because I'm not a huge fan of hers. Vanjie gets busted on for always being Vanjie when Silky pretty much is always just Silky.
Yeah, you're right.
And nobody calls her out for it.
Yeah, even on the Snatch game, she played herself.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she was technically T.S. Madison, but I don't know who T.S. Madison is, but she's Silky.
She's a sassy black woman. I don't know if you knew that.
I figured. But
she is a social media star that spawned from the Vine era.
Oh, yes.
Where she famously, I think, had a 22-inch weave while swinging her dick around.
Oh,
gotcha.
On the Vine.
Oh.
Yes, because she is a trans woman, the T.S. Madison. She's actually really, really cool in person. She's been at the Parliament House before. She actually sang at Barrioke when I did Happy Hour karaoke on Mondays.
Oh.
So I've actually gotten to talk to her a little bit. And she's a fascinating individual to hear her story. I believe she was on What's the Tea with RuPaul and Michelle Visage back early on.
Uh-huh.
And she goes over, like, kind of her coming up into the world of, like, working and then transitioning into, like, really taking hold of her transness and then turning it into a career. So it's actually a really good episode. So if you're interested in finding out more about T.S. Madison, go back and find that episode of What's the Tea. You'll be glad you did. But cool. Yeah, you're right. She just was herself.
Yeah.
And it was like when Tyra was herself playing Beyonce, because she's like, oh, Beyonce and I are so much alike. And I mean, like, it's funny how certain people get read for filth for one thing. And don't get me wrong, Vanjie is just Vanjie and everything.
Oh yeah. My God.
And there is no acting to it.
But she is Vanjie, but she's a fucking amazing performer. I think so. Like, we saw her at Parliament, what was it, Saturday, Friday, Sunday?
Sunday.
So we're recording this after the Not Quite Gay Days event. And she was good. I thought she was really talented. I mean, she does her thing. She's not going to not talk. I mean,
well, yeah, that's true.
But I mean, she performed her ass off, shaking her hair back and forth and dancing around. I mean, you know.
I mean, she was certainly more entertaining in the reunion and the finale than Silky was.
Oh. Do you think they told her to tone that shit down? I don't know.
No? Yeah.
Because you saw that happen over, like, the last couple episodes down into the reunion. She absolutely got dialed back down from 11 to, like, 2.
You know? I think after RuPaul told her to bring the volume down during the reading challenge, it kind of dialed back a bit. Plus, when you have 4, 5, 6 queens, it's easier to get screen time than when there's 15 girls in the room and you've got to be loud and obnoxious to get a camera on you.
Right, right. That's true.
Speaking of the reading, because that was the first part of this episode.
Oh, well, that was the reading challenge?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God.
It was the worst reading challenge I've seen.
Like, it was cute for when the queen started to read back.
Yes, yes.
But that was only because the reads were so bad that they were able to spin them back around.
I mean, things like, I love Nina, and Nina didn't perform well at all. And Silky was just atrocious, like that kind of half-read thing on RuPaul.
Her haikus.
And then like asking for permission to pull out a footnote. Like, who cares? Just do what you're gonna do.
Well,
like,
no, I mean, that was the whole gag, was can I use a footnote and then actually having a note in her shoe.
Yeah.
Like, I get the gag of that, but it was stupid.
Yeah, it was not the best.
It's like, oh. And they were just horrible.
I really felt the reads during the slaps were funnier.
Yes, they were.
Than the reads for the library. Yeah, yeah.
And it's really disappointing because, it's one of those challenges everyone knows is going to come up. So you have a lot of downtime in your hotel room. Why aren't you...
Hell, even before you show up to the set, well, you know it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah, but it's you can't really write.
Oh, so you know the characters.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, it depends on the read. Some reads are generic.
Well, yeah. You can come up with some generic ones, but...
Yeah, you're right. You got to tailor to
They need to be directed at the person. For All-Stars, a lot of the queens will hire writers to write jokes based off of who is kind of rumored to be on the show.
Oh.
Because, like, Monet and Bob talked about it on Sibling Rivalry, where Bob had written jokes for Naomi. And even, I think she had written a couple for Monet, but she went over and read through some of the ones for people that they thought were going to be on the show, like Darian Lake and a couple of other people. Yeah. So that way, you know, they go into it prepared, because unlike the regular season, All-Stars, now you walk into that room, the first thing you do is the reading challenge.
Yeah.
So you've got to be prepared. When you're coming in, you may know some of the other girls that are going in because you're in the same geographic area.
Right.
But with the regular season, you don't really know these people until you have spent time with them.
Right.
Which is why this doesn't come until like the 8th or so episode.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But I feel like the slap challenge, there was less pressure, and they were kind of at that point just a lot looser with just shit talking.
It was fun. Right. I mean,
it was fantastic.
That is a challenge that I think is consistently the most fun of all of the things they've done season after season.
Well, it's only been 2 seasons.
But I mean, 2 really strong seasons. So
I miss the puppets.
I mean, the puppets were great. I do miss the puppets.
Did they kill the puppets after Bitch Puddin', or not Bitch Puddin'? What's Alaska's thing she does?
Pound Cake.
Little Pound Cake.
No, I mean, that was... Little Pound Cake was born in season 5, and they did it all the way up until they...
Oh, that's
right. Because that was a separate challenge. That was, like, make your little toddler and tiara doll. Because they still did puppets later on when it was the final 5.
Okay, because, I mean, yeah.
Well, season. Puppets weren't brought in until, like, a couple of seasons... Or no, was it season 5 or season... No, season 5, they started with the puppets. Because they had the Roxy doll, because then I remember they had the...
The reveals.
The Bianca one.
But season 4, they did puppets.
Did they do puppets in 4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've seen 4.
I remember Sharon doing a puppet.
Oh, because then they painted them and Fifi's was super orange.
7, they did puppets. 8, they did puppets.
They did it up until season 10.
Yeah.
They did it through 9.
I wonder why they killed the puppets.
I don't know. But then RuPaul slapped Asia O'Harris, and now RuPaul stayed the fuck away from slapping anybody.
That's sure did.
Smart.
But, all right, so LADP was great. It's Silky and Sugar. You had Vanjie and Plastique, which bombed.
Yeah.
You had
Nina and Brooke.
Fantastic.
Which was amazing.
I call her Paula and I keep her hidden. But it was fantastic.
And Brooke, that was the moment when she really demonstrated that she had more than just a dancer.
Yeah.
And a look.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So.
And then you had Akiria and Evie.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which... That was actually the first time in the season where I got excited for Akiria.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you can do something other than put on a...
breastplate and a pageant wig?
Exactly.
She killed it. That was great.
Or that same pageant wig.
The one
then let somebody else...
I was going to say, is that the pageant wig? Moved around? Yeah, yeah.
Did you see the picture that somebody doctored a picture of... They took a group photo at the reunion... Or when they did the reunion set, they have all the girls sitting together, and then somebody photoshopped Akira's wig onto all of them.
No, I did
fantastic.
See that. Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, so we had LADP. Dragra Kadabra was the next one.
Magic.
Which?
Magic.
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 Club 96.
Which this was one where one team was really, really, really good, and the other team was... not
really, really not
that's
good.
That's never happened before this season.
But like, yeah,
but I, which just became so confusing for me when it got down to the end of the episode, And
somebody from the team that was really, really good went home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Production strings really showed through in some of the things that they did this season. Production shows through a lot because it is unscripted television and they needed to move in a certain direction. But when you take somebody off of a team and you're just like, well, these people were really worse than all of you, but you didn't shine as bright as your team. So I'm sorry, you're going home. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Because, I mean, granted, her runway look wasn't amazing, and the fact, like, if she had just kept with that first look.
But Akira didn't even wear a caftan.
I understand.
I don't give a fuck if you go and Google caftan with a K, or caftan pants.
Was this Plastique went home?
No.
No, this was Sugar
went home.
Oh, that was when Sugar went home.
She had the multiple three.
Sugar versus Vanjie.
Oh, yes.
Because it really should have been, based on the challenge, it should have been Evie and Vanjie.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Honestly, if you're going to count the runway, Akira and Vanjie.
Yes.
Because that was not a caftan. Because
Evie definitely had a much better runway than...
And I didn't think Evie was that bad in the challenge. She was a little more wooden.
Right.
But she was also kind of the only thing that kept it moving in a solid direction.
Well, because she writes her material. She prepares.
Well, yeah. Well,
which they should have done.
Right. We're just going to get up into some improv. It'll be fine. Make it happen. It'll be fine.
But yeah, that was, I think, one of our first questionable eliminations of the season was the Dragra. These fucking titles. Dragra Kadabra. But it was cute to see them do magic.
Yes.
But when is a drag queen ever doing magic?
Never.
Exactly. So
the magician was cute.
Except, yes, like the magician. Except... didn't you say that you guys saw a tour where Ivy Winners did the quick
Quick changes are different than magic, though.
Well, I've seen some magic acts that is their magic, is the quick change.
Well, then they need to be a better magician.
But, I mean, things like... Because
you know how a quick change is done. Their outfit has magnets on it.
Yeah, but they drop the top to the bottom and it's poof. And
then I know, because...
Just under all the glitter and then it goes poof.
Poof.
Poof, 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 badoof.
That was Dragra Kadabra. And then probably the most disappointing makeover episode ever.
Aww.
That's boring.
Ever.
It's just boring.
Aww.
Bring back my queens.
I was like, fine, let them use the returning queens, whatever.
Why? We don't need them. We've seen them. This story's done. They brought them back just to
continue
the wig gate.
They solved the wig gate, right?
They didn't even solve wig gate. Ariel was going to pop off, and then they came back for day two, and then Ariel didn't pop off.
And then it was extra produced because they brought back Soju for some reason, just to be the trick of everybody, because there was no Raja coming back. There was no...
Mercedes, no Kahana.
Honey, no Honey Davenport.
No, Honey was there. Honey had the beard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No Kahana.
Yeah, no Kahana.
There was no Kahana, no Mercedes, no Raja. Yeah. Those three.
So yeah. I wonder how that all worked out. Because you didn't need any more than the number of girls they had left.
Yeah, so three people were going to get left out. But if you're going to do that, you would figure Raja would come back and you would leave off the first three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave off the first three for savings.
I wonder how that all came about.
Well, they were like, well, we have to get Soju because she's obviously awful. So that's going to be the hardest person to make over. And somebody's got to get it.
I mean,
that's TV.
Soju does good looks. Looks aren't the problem with her. It's the everything
right.
else.
But, I mean, coming back and then saying, I don't walk in heels.
Well.
And you're a drag queen.
But yeah. Did you see her strut down that runway on the finale in them heels?
No. She
looked good for the reunion.
She did.
And
no.
We'll get to that in a moment. But, yeah, that was a interesting thing.
They certainly did pile on to her way hard. But also.
And then you got Silky sitting there talking about how Brooklyn is shady.
I don't think
she was all that was left. Like, she paired up people that were similar.
And honestly, out of those people, that is going to be the closest match for Soju, I think.
They're the plus-sized queens.
I mean, you can make an argument that, okay, she's kind of similar to Nina, but then Suga's not any closer to Silky than Soju is.
No, everybody worked for who they were with, and then you had Soju. So it wasn't shady, it was just
so
the luck of the draw.
This gets to my theory that RuPaul saw in Silky somebody who is both entertaining in her own way, but also divisive. and like kept her maybe going further than she should have because of some of her craft problems, because she was so divisive. And by throwing somebody like, I mean, I don't know if it was legit Brooke's decision or a producer was like, hey, maybe you put them together. You know what I mean? Like that's a pairing that really people would talk about that would cause drama, story, whatever.
But I think no matter who Silky was paired with, Silky still would have kept the camera on herself.
She would have tried. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You get into this weird thing where you're watching RuPaul where you're second guessing what is authentic. I mean, this is not just RuPaul. This is reality TV in general. This is radio. I'm thinking like 104.1, like our local talk radio, when they would have these little dramas or these little whatever bits. You know, it's like you don't know what's real. You don't know what's manufactured.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a head game.
But did you agree with the bottom two for this?
This was, hold on, this was Nina, right?
Uh-huh.
And Vanjie. No?
No, it was Nina and Silky.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. This is the, I think so. I think, from, I don't remember who is Nina's pairing. You just said
Sugar
it.
Nina was Sugar.
I thought that was okay, you know?
I didn't understand when they kept saying there was no family resemblance. I mean, I didn't like the outfits, per se. I love the statement. I love all of everything else. But I saw Nina and Sugar look like sisters.
Yeah.
But honestly, at this point, I want you to find me a drag family where every single member of that family looks the exact same.
Oh, you there don't. Isn't. You don't.
So when you're telling me I want a family resemblance, I want to be like, so you just want a clone? Like, can we change the wording? Because that's not going to happen.
Are they saying drag family resemblance or family resemblance?
No, like
drag,
new
bio family resemblance or whatever.
They're saying drag family.
Because that hasn't been the case in the previous.
Yes, it has.
I thought I heard Michelle say something like sisters. Well, I guess that could be drag.
No, well, that was derogatory. It was like, you look more like cousins than sisters or... like, friends and sisters. Like,
I think the only time it was ever like bio family resemblance was when they did the mother of the bride challenge.
No, but even then that was still a drag family because you were her drag mother. It wasn't
it makes sense,
when you're in drag makeup, you don't look like yourself.
Right.
But we usually have men who've never done drag, straight men. Veterans. We have the camera crew. We've got people that... because then there are drag names, and they get a drag name, and that drag name corresponds to your drag,
drag name. Yeah. So what you really want in that challenge isn't just to coordinate clothing, but it's really probably important that you coordinate your face.
Yeah, like, no, that's especially...
you have to get that look. Like, when Trixie did this, from what I remember, she did, like, her face on somebody else. You know, that's the coordination they want. Like, that distinct drag look that they had... on somebody else and pull it off, you know.
Yeah, because it was her and Pearl, but they did the like the braces and the freckles and all that, because they there was a conjoined twins for that episode.
Oh, that was the twins. Yeah.
And I was like, do they do one for All-Stars 3?
No.
Well, even her spot, I don't remember if she got to the end of there.
Well, no, hey, that was her season, was the conjoined twins. She was the one that came back.
Got it.
Because at least at that point, if you're going to bring back the eliminated queens, have there be a reason for it. Like in season 7, Trixie got to come back into the competition because was, you know, the name of the game was, okay, let's do this conjoined twin look.
Yeah.
And the winner gets to come back. But, it really is just, here, be clones.
Yeah.
Or be, you know, opposites. Like, Brooklyn and Plastique looked fantastic. And then one had the red dress with the shop up one sleeve, and the other had the blue dress with the shop up the other sleeve. And Vanjie and Ariel looked fantastic. And this is the episode where there was a think piece about how RuPaul's Drag Race is gaslighting their audience.
Yes, because this is the one where everyone thought Vanjie should have won. And the episode was basically edited to show that this was the one that Vanjie was going to win.
With somebody else going home. Like, the focus of the episode was shifted to make you think one thing, and then they went like hard left and said, oh wait, no, that's not how this is gonna work.
And it's a weird editorial question, because you're like, did you do that on purpose just to mislead, or because your audience is hip to you, or
I mean,
was this also one where it was also brought back up the whole Evie versus Silky, and like, I'm going to send you home.
Oh, yeah, I think
then,
so.
And then Evie was the other one in the bottom three.
Yeah, because they were playing up the Evie versus Silky.
Yeah.
And right. they were playing up Vanjie, I haven't won anything yet, and she did such a great job. And then it was like, Brooklyn, you're the winner, and it's going to be Nina and Silky. And everybody's kind of like,
so was there a storyline where they were like, all right, we're going to build up to this epic Evie versus Silky thing, and then one of them has to go home? And then they went, well, somebody really wants to keep Silky because she's whatever. Now we have to do something else. All right, well, let's do this instead. You know what I mean? Like, you can see those kind of wheels turning as the
storyline.
It could have been, but at this point, nobody had seen Silky actually lip sync on the show. So, I mean, they had seen Evie, and so it would have been...
I feel like if we didn't have the Snatch Game where Brooklyn and Evie fucked up so badly... and then gave that lip sync and were both saved, we could have potentially seen that, because my feeling is that Silky was going to the top four no matter what. That was just the driving force.
Yeah, exactly.
As was Evie. So in order to do that lip sync, you had to do a double save, because that's just what it was going to be. But when you use it already on Silky or Brooklyn and Evie, you don't have that option.
Right.
Because honestly, and I thought it was going to happen at the finale, but that's like the biggest case of fucking blue balls this season has given us, was all this talk about the two of them and then nothing.
No.
Because honestly,
they're the best of buds now.
And honestly, this lip sync could have been a double
elimination.
I thought it was going to be, because
her first word out of her mouth was meh.
Yeah. Well, and rightfully so.
The fact that we had a double save, we didn't have a double elimination at that point.
Yeah.
And our formula up until now has been that the last episode before before the break, the last filmed episode, is the top four doing their performance.
Yeah.
And we were not there yet. Like, we weren't close enough. Like, I thought they were going to both get sent home, where Nina should not have gone home. I am sorry. Yes. That is...
She knew the words to the song and gave a capable lip sync.
She gave the whitest white girl dancing at a party to No Scrubs, but she at least did something decent.
Yeah.
When you're Silky doing these, I would rather you do a safe dance and shoulder wiggle and scoot than give me a sloppy ass
belly flop. Or fall, whatever the hell
split,
that is. Yeah.
Where then you've got to try to like pull your hair out of your face, and then you got to try to get yourself up.
Well, she did a sad wig reveal at first.
Yeah.
And then she went to the back of the stage and kind of stood there.
Climbed up on top
there,
of...
like.
I was like, is she playing Rampage and she's going to start smashing out the windows? I don't understand this.
I'm going to wreck it.
Oh. I just don't get... I really want to understand why she was kept so long and why...
Because RuPaul had a soft spot for her.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's the Tyra thing where Silky is a pageant girl. Silky has this thing that Rue loves, and Rue wants to push it.
How is she... This is what I don't get. I mean, I guess the plus world is a little different, but how is she a pageant girl? Like, with the level of her craft that was demonstrated, admittedly, she said in the reunion, oh, I gained weight, and that's why
I
have problems.
How do you gain 30 pounds
in maybe 6 weeks?
Not even.
I don't know how.
That show films, and I know we both listen to Ray Chaser, so I know they talked about this.
Yeah.
There is no way. How do you gain 30 pounds in that amount of time without needing a defibrillator?
They don't give you enough food on that set.
No, right? Exactly.
And yeah. I am a testament to, when you're stressed and you don't eat, you can still gain weight.
Oh, yeah.
But 30 pounds in a month?
No.
Is severely unhealthy.
That's crazy.
And not have a cardiac arrest at some point?
Right?
Well, you're already a bigger girl. Yeah.
Then she shouldn't be throwing herself around on the stage like that, if that's the case.
Oh, my God. Anytime. But yeah, no, I really wish I understood that more, because I don't.
I don't know.
Other than wrestling, she's a heel. Like, if that's what you're doing, if you're building in this,
well, she's the antagonist
top,
for the season.
So, I mean, if that's what you're seeing and that's what you're doing, okay, I get that. But
Willem has called that out on Race Chaser a bunch of times. When you have your dynamic of your your usually your top three or whatever. You've got your protagonist, your antagonist, and then
you're like perfectionist or something like that.
Something like that. The underdog.
Yeah,
the
underdog. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you have Silky as your antagonist. You've got Brooke as your protagonist. And you have Evie as your underdog.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Akiri and her breastplate and her wig that everybody and uses.
Her side eye.
Woo. Woo. And her feathers. All the feathers. So many fucking feathers.
She gets swallowed on those feathers.
Jesus Christ. I'm like the phoenix. There was a whole phoenix theme during the finale. Then fucking Aquaria. Yeah. So anywho, so Nina goes home in questionable fashion. Then we get to episode 12, our top five with queens everywhere, where they will learn sickening choreography from Todrick, record a verse for RuPaul's new club hit, Queens Everywhere.
Which I'm sure all the clubs are using.
All of them.
Do you even remember anything about that song?
No.
The song? No.
The songs just get worse and worse every year, honestly. Yeah.
Well, it's you're also this year, which I'm kind of glad they stopped doing that. Okay, Final Four episode. Maybe we're going to send somebody home. Probably not, because then we can't do the lip sync off at the end, which everybody likes now.
The pool play of the lip sync, you know? You have to have an even number of teams.
Yeah, but fitting five queens into a song.
Yeah.
On top of, okay, well then, you also have to have room for the RuPaul chorus in there too, or otherwise it's not a RuPaul song anymore.
Oh, and make it in one take. Yeah, that whole thing.
Sure.
It was
sure,
just
Jan.
It was horrible.
No, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't doubt it if they film it twice.
Right, right. That's what
Do 2-1 takes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in case.
Yep.
Yeah.
But because they were like Willem had caught that there was a cutaway after Silky's part or during Silky's part.
Like she fell or something, yeah.
But it just by the time we got to Evie's verse, I thought the song was done. And then I'm like, oh shit, that's right, we have five people here. And as much as I liked it, and she deserved the win in this episode.
Yes.
I couldn't help but be taken back to season 9 and Sasha Velour when they did was it Category Is? Was that Category Is for
that was 10.
Category Is was 10.
Yes.
Oh god. What the hell was season 9's?
Magic.
No, season 9.
Not Magic.
No. Season 10 was American. Season 9 was Category.
Yeah. What category are we on right now?
I thought Category was 10.
No, Category was 9 because Sasha was the weird one.
Oh, I don't know.
Shay
I can't.
Had the baseball bat.
Yeah.
None of them are Kitty Girl. That's the only one of these that I've actually ever given a fuck about.
No. Reggie wrote you.
Exactly.
Reggie wrote you is still the top.
That one because of how bad.
Those three verses are great. But I mean, it's a diss track, and then you've got Kitty Girl, which is then an empowerment anthem. So you have two sides of
okay.
Of
so
that
those
coin.
Two, but then the rest have been yeah.
And all I can remember from fucking Super Queen is she's a super queen.
At least that part sticks.
Which queens was that?
Everywhere. I don't
know. All Stars 4.
Oh, okay. That one, it was okay. But like, okay, so you were talking about produce. We're on to that one now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the overproduced part, when I watched a Curious segment and then I heard their comments afterwards, I said, you must have seen something completely different.
Where is the body?
I thought Akira was horrible. And Angie wasn't great. She definitely had some rough word problems and some whatever. And then Silky, whatever the hell that was, but like Brooks was solid and Evie was good, really.
It
good.
Wasn't funny. We didn't see passion
that's
in your eyes.
Bullshit.
This was
the camera's 3,000 feet away from her. How are you seeing anything in her eyes?
Yeah,
obviously based on the video, Vanjie was the weakest performance.
I thought Akira could have been though.
I liked Akira's. To be honest, I like Akira. I liked Akira's. It wasn't my favorite.
Her
but Brooks was stronger.
Evie, Brooke by a hair, Akira. Those are my three, by a hair.
You probably could have done Silky versus
Miss Ass Almighty though. That was a cute little line.
But so you automatically had Vanjie in the bottom, and if you weren't going to get a Silky versus Evie lip sync on that episode, and you had Vanja there,
right?
You have to
Well, of course, that was what this whole season was.
Once that happened, that was the natural. Yeah, of course,
it was so manufactured.
Yeah.
That Vanja had Made in China on her ass.
Yeah. It's just
But I mean, even watching Brooklyn get the critiques, you just watch the wheels in her head turn and go, "The fuck?"
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Because I don't. What is this? I don't see this joining. I don't see this. You need to dirty it up.
What?
No. She had the hardest fucking choreography. She's spinning on poles, doing splits, like doing all this stuff. Like, oh, you wanted more jokes? Like, I'm not saying she's the fucking. She's not Feminem. But I mean, like, she is the whitest girl from fucking Canada. What do you expect from her?
They did read her on her outfit, too, which I thought was also brilliant.
I mean, the underarm stains were the only thing that...
Oh,
The sweat spots, after watching it the second time, I was like, oh. But that is pure Brooklyn. Like, that is White Swan, ballerina goodness.
Absolutely. And when you think about the... Well, I mean, this is the lip sync, obviously, but her performance... Well, no, actually, on the runway, didn't she do a little up on her toes?
Yeah, she was on point.
Like, that is so impressive to see that level of craft.
And if that had been the first time she had been on point for the season, I think it would have gone... Like, I don't think she would have got read the same way. But because she had already done it...
I know, but I'm sorry, and I've said this to other people. As many times as she does it, it still makes me so happy. Sure. It still does.
Yeah.
Like, she did the mummy on point back when we did... Why are we doing this ball challenge with fucking 11 queens?
To see all the outfits.
33 fucking looks. Jesus Christ. Just to make them pack more shit. So we saw it there. Cool. And then... But this was the first time we saw her perform on point.
Right.
Because she won that challenge.
Yes.
So she didn't have to perform. She was just... One of her looks was a mummy, a ballerina mummy. So she walked the runway on point. But this was the first time we got to see her actually do a whole number. So, there are a couple episodes that are just a little much.
Yeah.
You understand that there's production, but sometimes it goes a little too
far. Well, you never want to see the strings of the puppet.
Yeah.
You want to know that there's a puppet. You want to believe that it's real. You don't want to see the person up there manipulating it. And that's the problem. When you see that production storyline influence really directly, it's obnoxious. You don't like it.
Brooke's like, why did I pretend to be in a relationship with somebody else on this season?
Oh, do you think it was all that?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that?
I can't say for sure.
Oh.
But I can almost guarantee you that it was.
I mean, I know we know people who know people, so.
I mean, but I always take that with a grain of salt, but.
I mean, it could have been a hookup and they went, you know, hey, this is going to work for us. Let's do it.
But they played that shit up at the reunion.
My God.
I wanted the notebook, and I got a post-it note.
Smart.
I take back my Vanjie can't act, because that reunion acting,
smart.
Fucking everything.
All of it. No.
Everything.
Vanjie is obviously one of the smarter manipulators of the people manipulating them, except that at some point she hit that realization, I think, that it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. She's not going to be in the top four. And that's sad, because I think she could have totally done it.
Yeah.
And been a better contender than Silky. Not, I don't know that she would have won given the competition, but she would have been a better contender than Silky.
She's in a better spot being eliminated beforehand.
And agreed. Because same thing with Nina.
She's in the Latrice spot. I mean,
yep. Same thing with Nina, though. They're not. It's anybody.
She's in the Katya spot.
Right. Right.
She's
exactly.
In the Lacrim spot.
Exactly. So yeah, no, it works.
But yeah, so then Vanjie goes home, and our top four, we've got Brooklyn, we've got Akiria, we've got Silky, we've got Evie. And I know I didn't do that in the proper order, because it should have been Akiria, Brooklyn, Silky, Evie. So you don't show favoritism, you just show them alphabetically. But anywho.
I think at this point in the episode, people understand where the favoritism is.
Well, I mean, true. They're like, Silky, 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 Silky. But
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
She still don't win. Then we get reunited, which I will say this. I'm glad that the reunion has been split out of the finale. Although with as much time was dedicated to random bullshit, we could have had the reunion in the finale and yes. still had plenty of time for the actual finale.
Yes.
But the best part about it...
Are you glad that they filmed the reunion after the finale?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I was going to say. So they film... This time around, it depends. It was usually on like a Tuesday or a Thursday before, and they would film the following day. This time around, they filmed on Monday night? No, Tuesday. They filmed on a Tuesday, I believe, in LA, before the last episode had aired, because, you know, you need time to be able to edit the episode. So before we even knew a top four, we already had our top four competing for the crown. Which I think is a little awkward. But you have that whole finale taped. You have your top two. You have your crowning recorded for your top two. And then you get to your reunion the following day with some bitter ass queens.
People are still going to be bitter even if you haven't with just the top four. You're going to have
Well, but
bitter.
This is the thing. I don't care about everybody else.
Yeah.
The top four, and this was the most evident. This started with season 9 because of this lip sync for the crown format. That was the point where Shea Coulee was like, I don't need to be nice because I don't need to worry about you possibly picking me to win this $100,000.
Right. There, so she was like, you didn't even film me getting the crown. So
I've got receipts. Let's talk shit. Where I feel like this time around, they were kind of like, all right, well, you guys don't really say much because we don't want our viewers having an idea because Akira and Silky didn't. Get much airtime?
No,
during this reunion.
Well,
there was
more. Silky
got one question asked of her.
Silky, Akira got a decent amount though.
She got
because
like
she interjected. And
well, she had one segment where they talked about her being a shit stirrer.
Right.
And then she got to have like one read or something like that. Right. But she got like no time. Vanjie got like 14
all
segments.
Well, yeah, no
talking just to her and then talking to her about her relationship.
But that's also good TV. Because Vanjie's good TV.
That's fine. But for fuck's sake, I didn't even realize that Honey Davenport was there.
Well,
until she said one thing at the
I
end.
Know.
Even Soju got more time on screen than Honey.
Good for her. Yeah. It was interesting. Like, the reunion was very weird and off balance and kind of a shit show. And
that's like this season.
Yeah.
They're not exactly.
But the reunions are always kind of a shit show. And, like, you know, you have people walking out, you know, with what's her name?
Vixen.
And just all this back and forth and bickering. And I don't know. I just, the wig gate, it's like, come on, really? This is the whole thing? You're going to talk about the fucking wigs? Like, come on. And RuPaul's at one point she does her, and she's done this a couple times, like, you guys need to, and she gives her motherly advice, and it's like, oh, say it with me now. And
she does that, but then at the same time is like, oh, wait, this tweet that you deleted? Boop, here are the receipts.
Oh, totally.
Let's read this together, shall we? I'm like, well, they really want to stir that pot.
But a mom would call you out on that shit too, though.
That Wiggate was the worst fucking storyline of the season.
Like,
yeah.
Do you think that was actually... The producers told Ariel to do it, or Ariel thought of it like, oh, I could do something.
Oh, I think it was an absolute accident. And then they went, this is fucking gold. We're going to capitalize this, you know, as much as we can.
And she was stupid for that tweet, especially knowing that she came back and filmed another fucking episode where they talked about it.
Yeah, that was the thing I didn't understand.
I have a question. Is Ariel, what's Ariel's last name?
Versace.
Is she related to Ariel Italic?
No.
Okay, because it's the last name that matters.
Well, yes.
But I was sitting there like.
And they're different Ariels.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Ariel Versace is like Little Mermaid Ariel, and Ariel Italic is Fonz.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense. Okay, sorry. I was excited. I was like, we know Ariel Italic. Oh.
No. Oh, well. She's not part of the Versace family.
Bleh. The Versace.
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 Yeah, so there wasn't much. Although Nina's read of Soju was fantastic.
Yes.
Too bad your career.
You didn't pop like your cyst.
Ah. Tell me, did it K-pop? or what was it?
No, it was...
Honey's one line. Honey's one read was talking about Miss Ass Almighty. It's like a genie's lamp. When guys rub it, they wish for something... Or no, it's big, empty, and they wish for something better or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, Honey Davenport. Got you one line up there. And then this whole social media versus showgirls thing, I don't understand it, and I don't like that binary division of it. Because, yeah, social media girls are one thing. Look queens are one thing. But those could be two separate things. And then your showgirls aren't just showgirls. They're not, you know, like the dream girls this season. Silky and Akiria.
And Vanjie.
I don't understand why Vanjie is included in that. But anywho, that's just their little clique. I get it. But they're pageant girls. But you have, like, Nina. Nina's not a showgirl. Nina's not a pageant girl. Nina's not a social media girl.
She's a comedy queen.
But she's an advocate. She's a, you know, she's so much more than that. I've been doing this for so long that you're trying to then funnel everybody into these really narrow, like, perceptions of it. But I get, like, when you have somebody like Kimchi, who is a sweetheart, very nice.
Yes.
But she's a look queen. You know, she can do a great mug, does great outfits, and posts great pictures. But then you get her out there to dance and she's falling on herself, you know? So it's definitely, it's weird. I don't like that they try to like start that fight up.
It's an old person versus new, it's an old drag versus new drag thing, I think. I feel like.
I was going to say, you can't say old person because like Ginger Minj was part of the old lady brigade on her season and she was what, like 25 on her season? Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely that. It's the queens that have come up and are part of drag families, come up in the pageant scene, come up in the drag world, versus the queens that have come up in Drag Race.
Yes,
learn makeup through YouTube tutorials.
It's the queens that bust their ass day in, day out in their local scene versus the queens that do it all from their home, admittedly.
Yeah, which neither one is wrong.
No, they're both valid, totally.
But... yeah,
they're different skill sets because when you're doing it from home, you're not getting that performer expertise that you would get working the clubs day in, day out. So yeah,
yeah, you're not having to hustle.
Yeah,
and I don't know if production thinks, well, they can talk to a camera and sell like it on YouTube, so they can do the interview part of it.
You know, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
because they invited the fucking social media influencers, whatever the hell that is. In that one episode, like that is something they're trying to co-opt, and you know,
right?
So yeah, it's totally.
But it's not even so much that it's you're trying to hit a younger generation,
and right.
When you're talking about like Plastique, you know, when they talk to her about her followers, she has over a million now, and then they were like, "How many before before you came on the show?" When she said 400, I'm thinking, "Oh, okay, wow, she just blew up," and
right.
It was like 400,000, right? And it was like, "Oh, well, yeah." So you're trying to reach. You're trying to reach a market that you can't reach in a bar.
Yeah.
You're trying to reach a market that you can sell to.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's all about DragCon and it's all about putting out music
or
products.
Does she not perform? Because, I mean, she's one of Alyssa's girls.
I know she does.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she's one that does both. Yeah.
But, I mean, she's from the House of Edwards. So that's where she bridges the divide.
Right.
But
totally.
It was, she was starting drag before she was 21.
Yeah.
So she wasn't able to perform at a lot of the clubs. But this was something.
As four,
yeah, Willem was even talking about.
So somebody's going to find a picture of her at S4 doing Beyonce doing some lemonade. At 14 years old, getting her braids on with some Beyonce.
Oh, Jesus.
But Yeah, so she relied a lot on social media because that's where she could present herself.
Right.
Because she wasn't able to perform at the club every night.
Which I get.
Yeah.
But that's where like she crosses a divide because she is coming up in a scene, but she's too young to come up in the scene. So when you've got somebody like Alyssa that takes you on and all of this, like, you know, you're going to have some of those girls. But then you've got some of those girls like, you know, an Ariel who this is her thing. She does these looks and now she has a wig company. So that social media presence is basically for that.
Yep.
It's like, look at my makeup. Look how good I look. Look at this wig. You like this wig? You too can buy it for $150. Just go to my website.
But honestly, I didn't really at the onset of the season, I didn't hear too much of the girls talking about, well, I'm a showgirl versus I'm a social media queen. The real thing I ever heard was the second Soju came in and then Ariel was like, well, you just do looks. Do you ever perform?
How often do you perform?
Yeah.
Well, I do my show twice a week. That wasn't the question.
Yeah.
And that's still my question is how often do you perform?
But, I mean, it was just, like, I don't know if Ariel just felt self-conscious. Like, I'm going to preemptively punch down so that way people don't pick on me for being a social media queen.
Maybe. But, and I don't feel like it was that prevalent this season. It was prevalent last season.
Yes, for sure.
Or even in 9 because you had, like, Aja who got torn apart because of, you know, social media and Facetune and all of that stuff.
Well, I mean, it was also in 8 because of Kimchi. And, like, she was the first big Instagram. Right?
Yeah, but they didn't really push at that point.
But she was the first one that absolutely was that. Yeah, because,
look.
I mean, they were always picking on her runway walk.
Yeah. Well, it's because she can't walk.
And can't dance.
And falls over herself a lot. If you listen to them talk about it, they talk about how often Kim fell. Then Kim, they had to do that thing where they were lying on their back
and doing the legs
and the arms for the music video, which I miss the music videos, to be honest. I know that this costs less, that they're doing it on the lot and the set that they already have, but I miss the music videos because those had so much better production value and showed a different side of the queens.
They didn't have to pay for the music producer to come in.
Well, once you were crazy.
No, Lucien!
They didn't actually have to record anything and mix that into the track. Because at that point, they weren't recording verses.
Well, no, because even from season 1, they did. They recorded their verses, but only one made it in. Because that's where BB's infamous face, I give face, beauty face. That's in CoverGirl.
Is it?
Yes. Wow. They all recorded. The top 3 all recorded their verses, but only the winner got put into the music video.
2 recorded a verse?
Yeah. Wait, did 2 record? Were you asking if 2 recorded a verse?
Yeah.
I feel like they did. No.
I feel like
2 had acting.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't record a verse, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Okay. They've done stuff like that, but.
Because, I mean, like, there were things like season 5, they did that.
The, like, courtroom scene and the car scene.
They did a music video as well, but their song was the We Are the World one.
Oh, can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Where my people at?
Ugh.
Where my people at?
Gross.
Love it. Where my people at?
Wearing my sequins.
Oop, my sequins gown. Oh, poor Roxy. All right, so reunited, just kind of boring. Nothing major came out of it. So the grand finale, because at this point, I feel like this episode is feeling as long as 3 of these seasons, because, God, this season felt like forever. Grand finale, 1.5 hours, that could have been done in 1/2 hour.
Seriously. All that bullshit at the beginning, wasted.
The first hour.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Spread out the first 2 lip syncs a little bit.
But Michelle had a breast reduction. Aww. That's important.
And you got to...
In memoriam.
You got to have the families on camera. Not actually let them say anything.
Coming from a home that was split at one point... I did enjoy Evie's family.
I like
it seems like everyone enjoyed Evie's father.
Oh, well, you know, that too. But no, just, that was great.
I love that he was showing his motorcycle club episode of Drag Race.
Of course he was.
But, I mean, the looks were fine. Sugarcane pulled off a reveal that actually worked well.
Yeah.
Her Sacred Heart look was cute.
Yeah.
Nina with her paper doll look. That
Love
was
it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of which other ones stood out to me.
I liked Plastic Tiara's.
She looked great.
Just call her Plastic.
Yeah,
Plastic.
I did.
Plastic Tiara.
Plastic Tiara.
She is so much taller than I thought she was going to
really?
Be.
Really? Oh, yeah.
So much taller.
Was it because of shoes or, like, legit?
No, I mean, the heels add, a couple inches, but she was taller than I thought she was going to be. Evie, oddly, was the tallest out of all of them because I had the wide-angle selfie lens on, and even when I tried to crop it down into, like, the 4:3 frame on Instagram, I still had to cut off part of her head and part of my chin. My arm wasn't long enough to get the camera back that far.
Let's see here. I liked Honey's. Did you already say Honey?
No. I forget about Honey all the time.
Yeah.
It was
the big leather skirt.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it bee related?
It was. The top was all honeycombed, and then she had the bees on the wires.
Lame.
Which is similar to, it's like her entrance look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Brooklyn's Queen of the North, Ice Queen look.
Yes.
Yes. I liked Evie's muscle dress.
Yeah, that one was okay. I didn't like her one later. Her first lip sync.
Yeah, I didn't like the first lip sync.
That's from her new music video, and I just was like, oh, what is this weird club kid, crazy, felt, glued on project that you've got? I don't know if we're going through the lip syncs, but I'll
we'll get to those in a minute.
Okay.
Akira's, I liked the idea of it, but the big feather thing, it didn't flow. It was just this hard shell that surrounded her.
Yeah.
Like she was encased in a shell of feathers, which just felt awkward to me.
Yeah, I need them to have, like, some of the feathers to go in maybe just slightly different directions so it looks like it has movement.
Yeah.
Versus just, like, shellacked into one place.
Right. And then, so, here's the thing. Do you think that multiple queens across seasons, that it's okay for them to find the same inspiration in the same thing?
Are you talking about Silky's roach dress?
Yes.
Yes. I think Alaska did it better.
Well, yeah.
But I think she took something that, a critique that did not need to be taken as far as it did, because she used the roach comment once or twice afterwards during the filmed episodes,
right.
And then the dress, which she then did a tear away into another outfit, whatever, like, that was fine. I didn't love it on her. I didn't think it complimented her well, but I don't have a problem with queens kind of crimping each other's style.
Because, I mean, I don't know. This is just me. If you're going to hold on to that whole roach comment thing, why not just totally play up the roach thing? And
she should have come back in with the ski mask.
Not necessarily, but there, you don't have to. Like, I mean, it just seems like low hanging fruit.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like the sponge thing that Monet held on to, the brown cow that Monique held on to. They grasp at anything that they think may be something for them, and that roach thing was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was a real low point. Like, brown cow stunning, like, it wasn't a bad look. She wasn't being torn apart for her look, where Silky was.
Yeah.
And, like, that was her lowest point as far as, like, looks go. I don't think that should be what you try to hang on to as, like, I'm the roach queen. That's just, give me a can of Raid and we're good to go.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that they did some Maury Povich paternity test behind the scenes footage for these top four? Intercut with weird on the street in drag things?
Oh, yeah.
Because when they did the first one, when they did Akira's, first off, I don't know, her braids were that long. And
for
that she
real?
Had that goatee going on. But I swear to God, I thought it was going to be a lie detector test on Maury Povich or a paternity test, because the way that they were shot with, like, those weird angles and the side profile in black and white, go watch an episode of Maury And that's exactly how they do these little vignettes where they're like, she's saying that I'm the baby's daddy, but she's been sleeping with 14 other men. I'm here to tell her that I'm not the father. Like, that's exactly what I thought. And we all got a big laugh out of it on the in the bar. It was fun. But those were just weird.
Yeah.
And then we still got time with the queen, so it's like
too much filler.
Yeah.
Although why?
I did like Evie's anglerfish.
Yeah, and with the free hugs sign.
Well, not even that. The free hugs was fine, but then when she's like, "I stand out," and she's up against that blue wall that's the same color as her outfit, like that was fun.
Yeah,
which is like, "I totally stand out," and then she's just blended into the wall,
right?
But was it Love Connie segment? Christine coming out and singing "Sissy That Walk."
At first, I thought, wait, Christine, the crazy, freaky drag queen, is coming out and singing? So much more excited if they had done that. But
and I thought, for some reason, I couldn't remember Love Connie's name, so I thought it was Love Connie coming out to sing it, and I got excited about that. And then we brought out older season queens, and they each got like a third of a second airtime, including our girl, Kylie.
And not even that much from Morgan. She didn't get her walkout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because people looked at the shot after the overhead shot.
Oh, and they had
Morgan was there.
Oh, no.
But you didn't see her walk out because the way it was edited, it was one of those times when it flipped back to
Christine singing.
And
that was the only one?
She was the only one.
That is such bullshit.
Well, I mean, Sony got like literally a split second.
I mean, a lot of them
blink and you miss it. Yeah,
but I mean, Angina though. Angina looks so good. That little wig, the ponytail. Come on, girl. I didn't know who Nicole Page Brooks was.
I recognized her. The one I didn't recognize was Venus Delight.
Oh, she was there?
Yeah. I think she was the eye patch one.
Oh, maybe. Oh, is she doing a new Madonna?
Yeah. Of course.
Of course she is. How much money did she spend on that? Where are the receipts? So does she have like $30,000 worth of receipts to talk about it? Oh, goodness. Okay, so then after an hour, including another segment for Vanjie, because if Vanjie doesn't get a segment, I think it's in her contract when she came back. Although we didn't talk about this on her when she was sent home. I absolutely loved her exit from her episode.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. It just... I may not always love Vanjie. Most of the time, I may not even like Vanjie, but that exit was everything. I just don't think she needed two segments at the reunion and a whole other segment at the finale. But that's just me. Other people adore it, so good for them.
Yeah.
We finally get down to the lip sync for the crown. The four girls come out, and we spin the wheel. Silky gets first pick.
But she looks not good when it lands on her. She was like, holy crap. Which, at that point, I think she just wanted it to be over. She just wanted to get out of there.
Oh, totally. She knew the writing on the wall. So
well,
she's like...
Well, I mean, that, I think she read the reception she was getting from fans the entire season.
Oh,
how
that's
much backlash
true.
She was getting.
That's a good point.
And also, I heard that when she came out the first time, she got golf clapped.
No.
Like... And there was like a smattering of people standing up, but she did not get a warm reception.
That's so horrible.
At the finale.
That's, ugh.
But then Evie came out and got like a 5-minute standing ovation.
I get that, but you're there to do a job. When you do an audience thing, you're there to do a job. You're not just there to enjoy the thing. You're not supposed to like, you know, work hard at it, but like cheer for people. You don't just golf clap, you know. That's unprofessional and disappointing, you know.
Yeah,
for this kind of thing.
Yeah, but so I think she probably went through her head, and also I think production probably said, okay, Akiria and Silky don't choose each other.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be Akiria and Silky, honestly. Or
if I was Silky, that's who I would have picked. If I actually wanted to try and win the thing.
My original thought process, this was my original rundown for the finale. It would have been Silky and Evie to pay off that.
Yes.
Brooklyn and Akiria. So you have your pageant versus oddball views that you finally pay off.
Yep.
And then you've got your pageant girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was going to be Brooklyn taking hers and Evie taking hers. For a while now, I've called Brooklyn versus Evie as our final two lip sync.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the biggest and best moment of the season by far was their lip sync.
For sure.
And if you're going to try to recapture that in a stunning moment, you make that your finale.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you make that the last thing people remember from season 11. But she went with Brooklyn.
Which I think was probably the better choice for her because how much she had talked up that she was going to send Evie home. I think she knew she wasn't going to be able to send Evie home.
But and she that way saw she... Brooklyn lip sync twice. No.
But she never, like, there's no captured video or audio that they showed where she was like, I'm going to send you home, Brooklyn. I'm so much better than you.
She didn't say that to Akira either, though. You know what I mean? I would have expected at that point, take Akira. Because then at least maybe you'll have, you know, a chance.
Yeah.
But Brooklyn, you've seen Brooklyn fucking wipe the floor. She swiped the stage with her pussy while checking her nails.
Yeah.
She did her hair toss and checked her nails. But yeah, like, I just didn't understand it, honestly. And then the lip sync happened, and I swear, after last year's butterfly debacle, they looked at those girls and said, you keep that shit to a minimum. Because the reveals were minimal this year.
Yeah.
The only thing Silky did in lip sync that I quasi enjoyed was the wig reveal straight down the middle.
The second wig reveal, yes. Yeah.
Pulling the two wigs apart down the middle.
Yes, I've never seen a wig split.
Inventive. Yes. But everything else, the fact that, like, the song barely had one note out, and she already turned her back to the audience and ripped off a wig and a garment.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't fit musically.
Yeah.
Yeah, why weren't you just starting in that outfit if you were gonna, like, literally off the first, boom.
Like it was like when Aquaria came out in that...
Jiffy Pop Bag?
Jiffy Pop Bag. Like, why? I get it. You're just going to take it off the second the song starts.
Well, that's why I love Brooke's outfit where it basically said on the back, here's the reveal or whatever.
I thought that was great.
That was hilarious.
I want a smock that says reveal all over the front. And then when you turn around, it says, here comes the reveal.
I loved that so much.
I want it so badly.
Is that going to be Talita's look?
Maybe. I might have to bite her. Might have to bite her style, but I don't want the internet getting mad at me, so we'll see.
That entire Bootylicious song, like, it was just her flopping around. Like,
what? What dance move is you throwing yourself on your back? All it made me think of was Magikarp use splash.
Yeah.
It's not very effective.
No, it's not.
And then she, like, ran in a circle? Like, I wasn't sure if she was doing a dance move or trying to get up.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
But then Brooklyn did it right. She spun her, like, did it on the floor properly. But
and that was after her reveal of heels into dance shoes, which was...
Oh my god, a shoe reveal.
Holy crap. How does that get engineered?
Right?
Like, I mean...
It was impressive. It was very impressive.
Like, wow.
Lots of tension.
I have never seen a shoe reveal, and I'm so happy I have now. So needless to say, Brooke took that lip sync.
Yes.
That splash was not very effective.
It was not.
And the Ice Queen moves on to the finale in the final round. So then you had Evie and Akira.
Who get SOS from Box 96.
I love it.
I loved that they had box 1 and box 96. That was fantastic. And this one I thought was a lot closer.
Because it wasn't very interesting.
Yeah, because I didn't really get what Evie was going for. Like, I mean, I didn't mind the outfit. It was sad the Free Britney reveal didn't come off better than it did.
I guess it was a reveal, but... I didn't know what it was. I read about it later.
Yeah. I couldn't make out what it was in the moment.
Yeah.
But she, like, I don't know if it was just because everyone expected her to do all kinds of backbends and stuff, and it was just...
And that outfit was prohibitive of a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure. And the shoes she was wearing was also a little prohibitive.
Yeah, but then Akira, I mean, we haven't seen much of Akira lip syncing.
And the one because it was just she had to lip sync in the six way, right?
She did in the six way, and she sent home Raja. So she lip synced twice up to that point.
Yeah.
But again, obviously so not memorable that we're having to sit there and remember that she did it. But it was very meh. It didn't feel like anything that I wanted to write home about.
Yeah, it was just a generic like club outfit that she was wearing. Like it didn't seem like anything special.
Yeah.
The tearaway reveal was nothing. The wig reveal was okay. I liked the idea of the blue sparkly wig, but it didn't seem full enough or like yeah. it just seemed
And the timing was weird because it wasn't like she had like spun onto the ground and like took the wig off and it just yeah. I mean like when Evie yeah. did her like cartwheel and you thought, oh shit, she lost her wig. It's like, oh no, yeah, it's a reveal.
Yeah.
That worked well. This just was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So with a close lip sync, Evie took that one. And it set us up for Evie versus Brooklyn for the crown. But before we got to that, our season 10 Miss Congeniality / All-Stars 4 tie winner, Monet Exchange. Came out to crown. Came out to award our new Miss Congeniality. The sad part is that I had even forgotten that Monet Exchange was Miss Congeniality of season 10 because Aww. Then she went right into season 4 and then won that.
That's yeah. true.
And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? Who? Wasn't she on like 3 seasons ago? Oh no, that was last year. Got it.
Last year, but yeah, like no, December.
Well, no, a year ago.
Oh, was it that
It
long?
Was for her season when she won Miss Congeniality.
This oh, was God, right. a year yeah, ago. Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay.
Or just over a year because yeah. we're a little late on the finale.
Yes.
Yeah. But Nina West gets voted Miss Congeniality by the rest of the queens.
As well she should have.
I could have seen Sugarcane, yeah. maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But Nina, I mean, these are the queens. These are the people that are spending day in and day out with
Nina,
them.
Nina, I mean, at least from the edit, really showed her positivity.
From the edit. Again, that's when we as fans got to vote, we were basing it off of what we saw.
Right.
And Suga had a lot of that same warmness about her.
She totally did.
So I could have definitely seen it. Nina would have been my pick, but I really could have seen Suga Cane also possibly getting it.
Sure.
But she won like $10,000 from something and
I loved her meh comment. That was fantastic. That's how you read RuPaul. That's
right. She's an absolute sweetheart, by the way, and hopefully we'll be on the podcast
very soon.
Got to hang out with her a little.
She made me try Jenny's ice cream.
Oh yeah,
yeah, because they sell it at Publix. You guys not her flavor.
Oh, that's right, because she's doing the promotion with the ice cream.
Yeah, but they sell pints of Jenny's ice cream.
Oh,
it was good ice cream.
And then after that, we get the final lip sync in which Brooklyn had her amazing reveal. Here comes the reveal coat.
Yes.
And Evie wore her multi-headed deity, Vishnu Ganesh.
I loved it.
It was
ensemble.
It was great.
It was stunning. I mean, it really was.
And Edge of Glory was a great song for a finale.
Yeah.
Like final song, I think it allowed them both to perform well. I think Brooklyn fell in the trap of relying on tricks more than emotion.
Yes and no. Okay. Evie's look was bigger and could be seen easier is what she was doing. The thing I didn't realize at first, and it wasn't until I watched it back, was that the way that the mirrored surfaces of her headpiece were, it made, from certain angles, it made it look like she was multi-faced.
Yeah.
So she had the multiple, like, the three heads and all of that.
Right.
And then when she turned around and there was the head on the back of the piece, all of that, you could see that on a grander scale. You could see that further away. Brooklyn's big thing was that she basically was Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Yeah, so totally. From the cover, between the hair, and I think she even had the, like, the little mole and everything, like... She did up, and then with the mirrored look, which her look was stunning.
Oh, that was an amazing catsuit.
But it just didn't have that same push of, look at this.
Right.
Your eye
right.
was drawn to Evie. And that's really, I think, what put her over the top.
Yeah.
Because I think they had a closer lip sync. Neither one was, oh my God, so amazing. This wasn't a sorry, not sorry moment again. But right. it was a very good lip sync. But I think Evie's choice of an outfit that you could see and spot and draw your eye to was what put her over the top.
It just felt like she was emoting more. At least that's what I got from it.
The camera's also on her a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not see the passion in Brooklyn's eyes? Did she not dirty it up a little bit for you?
She did not.
It was.
Were you waiting for the joke, but it fell flat? Oh.
It was definitely a close lip sync.
I am not saying that make Brooklyn the case. Did bad.
Right.
I'm just saying that it's happened in finales before where the person who does a little bit more of an emotional lip sync wins over the person turning tricks.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't kink shame here, nor do we shame sex workers. Thank you, Eric.
I was trying to shame Kennedy Davenport.
But... oh, after an added trick and Trey didn't like it. Oh.
Because that's the same thing that happened in the Trixie versus Kennedy lip sync. Trixie was giving more of an emotional performance versus Kennedy, who was dancing all around the stage.
Flip off the stage, flip on the stage, flip off the stage, flip on the stage.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And Evie is our new next drag superstar. And good. That's the end of season 11.
And kept trying to shove her fists in her mouth.
And I will say, and you, Pat, you saw both performances. I saw one of the two when she performed here at Parliament.
Uh-huh.
Evie, she really did a great job. I really enjoyed her first performance. Did you enjoy?
I don't know. I was drunk and eating pizza at the time.
So I have her first performance. I put it up on YouTube because why not? And it was a good little comedy routine. It was surprising. It was a good performance. She didn't do any crazy backflips or backwards walking or anything really out there. But, you know, you shouldn't. You don't need to.
She did The Lion King for the Midnight Show.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which it was the same mix that Darcelle did.
No.
I was waiting for Darcelle's animals to come up on stage.
Oh, no.
That was cute. Shout out to Chrissy as the bird.
Oh.
And Jeff Freeman as one of the other animals. I got some pictures. I'll see if I can find a good one. I'll put it up on the Flame on Facebook page, because as they joked about it, Darcelle pulled it out of retirement after 20 years, and it's now going back in the drawer for another 20 years.
Oh.
So that is season 11. We hope that you enjoyed the season. There were definitely some fun moments. Definitely a lot of moments that just made us want to get through it as quickly as possible. We're now in a hopefully decently long stretch of time without some Drag Race. I need to recharge my Drag Race batteries. And now Willem and Alaska can finally get back to the season 2 reunion.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And get into season 3. So hopefully that'll happen soon. They put out 3 episodes this week, though.
3?
Yes, Live in San Francisco Part 1, Live in San Francisco Part 2, and the finale. So Monday, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, or something like that. I think they did the episodes.
What is this crazy podcasting schedule they're on?
And I mean, if you do end up needing more RuPaul in your life, she has a talk show now. Or he has a talk show now.
And there's going to be a Netflix show that he's doing as well.
Yeah, and that's a character. Like, he's actually acting. It's scripted TV.
So. Oh, is it But I'm a Cheerleader, the TV show?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, well.
But that will do it for us on this Drag Race recap. If you've enjoyed this episode or you enjoy any of the work that we do here on the Nerdy Show Network, feel free to become a patron, because we are listener-funded and supported entertainment, by going to patreon.com/nerdyshow. You can also follow us on all the social medias by going to flameonshow.com and scrolling to the bottom, where you can click on any of the social tabs down there and follow us on your favorite medium. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with, I believe, a cast recording, a little month in review, pop culture goodness. Join us back for that, dear listeners. And until then, peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.